This is GKW. Welcome to another edition of Good Karma Wrestling, where the band is all back together again. Excited to have everybody on board as we come off of Money in the Bank, continue to get ready for All In and AEW, and plenty of other things to dive into the world of professional wrestling. I'm Gabe Neitzel from ESPN Milwaukee with Ryan Rowitz from ESPN West Palm. Catch him on ESPN 1000 in Chicago, as well as Busted Open Radio on Sunday mornings, Jonathan Hood.
All right.
All right, gentlemen, let's dive into it because it's still buzzing. Like I have had to text with people who don't really pay attention to wrestling, but this was a big enough story of, and this was the exact question they were asking me. R-Truth, shocking return on Saturday at Money in the Bank. Now going by Ron Killings, going by his real name, going by his government name of Ron Killings. So the question becomes, were we all worked or did this just happen to come about because the crowd overwhelmingly wanted more of R-Truth on their televisions?
It is the latter. It's because of us as wrestling fans that R-Truth, Ron Killings, is now in WWE once again after 6 days away. You know, Ron Killings had independent bookings ready to go.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That he's going to sign and ready to go. He has merchandise. He's going to be like all the rest of them with a back table in some armory with his t-shirts laid out, Ron Killings, he's ready to go. So what happened is, guys, what I was told is like TKO and Mark Shapiro have no idea who Ron Killings is. What they look at is the budget and go, I don't know who this guy is. He's been around for 25 years. I don't know if he's an office worker. I don't know if he's a wrestler, but get rid of him. Just like some of the other guys that they got rid of. And Triple H had to sign off on it. And so it was about budget. They want to cut him. And, of course, we as fans said, no, you can't do that to R-Truth. And somehow, some way, he's back into the fold. Just remember, TKO is the beginning of this, but Paul Levesque has to sign off on it. Paul could have said, no, we can cut some other kids from NXT that we're not using or anyone else. But he was like, yeah, we'll do that. So when Triple H says in his press conference, you enjoying the show? He was part of this as well. So no, it was not a work. He was gone. And then they brought him back because of us, the fans.
Yeah, we talked about it last week. Like, R-Truth, Ron Killings is just a number to TKO. Right. Like, oh, this guy, he's an older guy. He makes a lot. He's got to go. I don't even think it's so much the fans reacting. I think it's more the locker room when you have all your talent being pissed off. Being like, hey, we need this guy. Like, what are we doing here? So to anyone that believes it's the work, I just don't see how you could think that. He's the number. They moved on. He gets what he wants. It's a big spotlight now, but I don't understand how anyone thinks it's a work.
No, because, again, I look at this a lot like I look at conspiracy theories, right? Sure. Like, okay, you start diving in conspiracy theories. I'm talking about, like, outside the world of professional wrestling. It's like, okay, like, how many people would have to be working and lying and trying to cover this up for it? And a lot of times that's where a lot of conspiracy theories fall apart. It's like, there's just way too many people. Somebody would have had to have been talking. And, like, Truth is really good. I don't know if he's this good of an actor where he's telling people personally that he's going. They've got his kid working on social media being pissed off about that Triple H comment that Hood just mentioned of, hey, no, this is like our family's lives. Like, and now it's, oh, all part of the show. It's all part of the entertainment. Hope you like it. And that's why, again, we can have a larger conversation at a different point in time about how pointless these post-match, you know, press conferences are, especially in WWE. When, you know, they're trying to keep the illusion of kayfabe alive in 2025, which is damn near impossible. And this is, you're telling me Triple H, like, that could not have sat well with some people in the locker room. Like, oh, okay, now we're going to pretend that we bleeped with this guy's life and released him, or didn't release him, but didn't renew his contract. And, oh, now we're just all supposed to believe that Triple H is some sort of genius. Like, no, and Triple H has done a good job. He's not that smart. Like, I don't think he's that smart to manipulate the locker room and all the fans and doing all these things. So to me, there's no way it's a work. And I think that was also evidenced where they didn't really have much for Truth to do on Monday night other than cut off his braids. Like, they moved on. They moved on with Cena. Cena's right. Doing his thing with CM Punk because the Cena retirement tour has got to continue, and it doesn't have space in it for another R-Truth match. So they moved on with Cena, even though he came back and cost John Cena. And now I don't know, and I don't know if they know what they're doing with Ron Killings. as now he cut off all his braids and is going to be going by something else.
Well, that thing, to that point, if this was this giant elaborate work and Hunter worked us all and he worked all the media and did all this, what's the end game? Because you say, all right, we're going to release this guy, 50-something years old, comedy wrestler, hasn't done a serious match in over a decade. Fans are going to be pissed off. He's going to come back. It's going to be a moment. And then what? He's not beating Cena for the title. So, like, in this, it's a work scenario. Where would it have ended?
Well, exactly. It's a great point. And so, you know, I've been saying on the show, many shows, that I wanted Ron Killings to show up at WWE, because that's a different character than R-Truth. The Ron Killings WWE TNA was NWA champion, and he was kicking ass and taking names, and he was a serious character. He kind of just fell into this comedy character, and what we saw in Phoenix was a guy that says, you know what, I've been this jokey guy for a long time. Now, I'm Ron Killings. Now, listen, at age 52, I don't know what that means. Like, I don't know if he can be that bloodthirsty, like, aggressive guy that he was in NWA TNA. I just know that I got a feeling that we're going to see Cena and Killings down the line. Ron Killings is not going to beat John Cena, but I guess I got a feeling that Ron Killings, the character, will have a shot at Cena. It won't be the three-minute nonsense we saw at Saturday Night's main event. So I think down the road, we might get a rematch here.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
What's the number now? 16 dates left? 17?
Yeah.
Well, he had 18. I think he said 18. So he's down to 17. Because 18 would have been Monday Night Raw.
That's only going to include a few matches. Punk's going to be there. We assume Cody gets another one. That's bold if you put Killings on there also.
I look at it this way. So Ron Killings cuts off his hair. He says that I'm Ron Killings now. So what's his direction? It's got to be pissed at John Cena, though. Still pissed. Sure. So he's going to get some kind of revenge. One match, a series of things that's going to happen. I feel like he's going to have one more match. Again, he's not going to beat Cena, because the only way I can book this is, and God forbid, like Ron Killings beats John Cena and then Seth cashes in. That's the only way that I can see that happening.
Yeah, I guess that's a route.
Yeah, that's just – I just
– Well, do we also know that Ron Killings is going to be around for a long time, that he signed a multi-year deal, or is this just kind of something short-term?
Two-year deal.
Two-year deal?
Okay. Because I was in that same belief, Gabe, where, like, all the reports early on was that contract wasn't being renewed, to where I thought, oh, maybe they're just letting him play out the string here.
Well, because I think everybody online had the same idea of how hilarious it would be if he just showed up in AEW. And then just went up to all the old WWE guys and, you know, like, hey, where have you been? Like, how come I haven't? And honestly, like, I saw that enough online where I'm like, I wonder if Hunter saw this and went, that's actually a pretty good idea. We got to prevent this. Because again, his contract expired. When your contract expires, it's not like the non-compete kicks in the way you do when you're released from your contract. So, you know, if he was able to do something like that because the contract expired, I don't know if they panicked, but if he signed a two-year deal, then obviously they have some long, or they're hoping to have some longer term plans for him.
I don't know. Hood, it was months ago we joked about him turning heel, and you said this WWE fan base isn't ready for heel, you know, bloodthirsty Ron Killings.
Yeah.
Aren't we a month or so away of fans being bored of him when he's not cracking jokes, when he's not doing some of that stuff? Like, this WWE audience, Brian Daniels is at best, they're fickle. Do they say, oh, this isn't who we wanted?
I mean, look, I'm excited about it, and I'm sure those same fans said, I don't want to see the New Day be heels either.
Right.
Just like, but somehow, some way, this is Ron Killings. And I relate Ron Killings to John Cena in this way where Ron's like, can I get a run as me? Like, sure. John was a heel years ago, and they asked him, like, Cody's not going to turn heel. John, you want to turn heel? Yeah, I'll do that, sure. Because maybe Ron just wants to have some fun. I don't know, but here's where you're going to be right, Brian. You're going to be right because Ron Killings, the ass kicker, is going to be a strong character. He'll make his merchandise. And then 6 months down the line, 8 months down the line, they won't be using him on TV as much.
Right.
So I mean, he's going to be around because his coworkers wanted him around. And so I don't see him like being in a championship pitcher anytime. So I think it's the right move, though. I'm glad they did it. Because his teammates wanted him there. So I think he's a good locker room guy.
I think the point that you guys made about yes, I mean, the crowd reaction was strong.
Yeah.
But I'm guessing the locker room reaction was stronger.
Yes.
Of, hey, we can't risk pissing our workers off and making everybody question, oh, man, they're letting Truth go? What does that mean for me? And I think that's something that they legitimately had to deal with behind closed doors.
Yeah, Kathy Kelly had a segment posted after the show Saturday where she got emotional. Like, she was choked up. Like, Ron Killings is back. R-Truth is back. Like, it means something. I'm sure it sucks if you're the rest of them, like the Carlitos of the world. Like, wait, can I come back also? But, you know, sometimes the numbers don't matter and the personality stuff does.
I just want to make sure it's very clear on the show that, and I say this all the time, WWE didn't have to cut anybody. They don't. You can reallocate these wrestlers or behind-the-scenes people to other places in the company. But just remember, Paul Levesque signs off on these things, right? So you know that it's on him because The Miz is still around. The Miz clearly, Gabe, could be like someplace else in the Indies or some other company. He's been around for 20 years doing, and the last, what, five? Nothing. Nothing much. Why is he still in the company? Because Paul Levesque wants him there. With R-Truth, Paul Levesque was good with that. Like, oh, TKO wants him gone? Okay, I'm not going to fight for him because he's been around for 25 years. Just remember, Paul Levesque is the one with the pencil with this.
Oh, yeah.
He's very good at claiming ignorance. And on a lot of things, it seems to be a constant trend with him. I didn't know nothing. I haven't read that.
Well, I didn't know. This was the plan all along.
Yeah.
Because you're enjoying the show.
He's such an ass. Could you imagine that in the sports we cover every day?
Right.
Just like
that. Well, that's the thing. Does he think that makes him more endearing to the fan base when he says something like that? Or if it doesn't matter because not enough people are watching, like, again, it brings me back to, why the hell are we doing this?
What if Goody says in the press conference, hey, you guys cut Alexander. Why'd you do that? Jair Alexander.
You guys enjoy the show? Yeah.
No? Just keep watching.
Yeah, why did you cut Jair Alexander in June? Why didn't you do it before the draft when you knew he wasn't going to be back? You guys enjoying the show? All right.
Could you imagine that answer? You would have hit the roof. What do you mean if I enjoy the show?
And again, R-Truth's kid. Good for R-Truth's kid going off online. What the bleep are you talking about?
Yeah, so I don't know about his long-term outlook, but I know if R-Truth or Ron Killings is pissed, he's pissed at John Cena. So there's going to be – he got him on the pay-per-view, but there's going to be more comeuppance, I think, for John Cena and Ron Killings. I do.
I feel like they have no plan. A lot of this stuff they almost luck into, and I think this is one of those, like, hey, we got the moment. Everyone's excited. Sorry. It's like, oh, crap, we got to keep booking this now?
Well, but that's – because, again, that's the thing. Like, the John Cena train had to keep rolling because, obviously, right, CM Punk was the plan for Night of Champions in Saudi. So it's not like you can really pivot off of that because you only have a certain amount of John Cena dates.
Yeah.
And Cena Punk is not one that you wanted to pivot off of because I'm sure they have at least a rough outline of what they want this to look like, you know, all the way until John Cena loses the championship before he actually formally retires.
Unless – is there a way – you know, there have been a lot of online discourse about Punk and whether he actually wants to go to Saudi. Do you pivot off of it, do some sort of injury thing? Killings goes there, and then Punk just gets pushed down the line?
You do Punk at SummerSlam?
Yeah.
I doubt it.
Punk wants to go to Saudi.
What? No, he says – you've seen some of the stuff.
I've seen a lot of the stuff he said over the years.
He's been very outspoken to people like The Miz, like you mentioned, about going over there.
I recall him saying that. And all of a sudden, the money got better.
Turns out the internet doesn't forget.
I've seen that stuff. It's like, something about a blank blood money
thing.
Okay.
There was a Bret Hart one. I remember being in a room for an AEW press where he's like, oh, Bret Hart should be getting this dirty money and he should be wrestling over there. It's like, wait a minute.
Here we are. And we've got other things we need to dive into. We call it the three count here on GKW, the other top stories in the world of professional wrestling. Brian, what's number one this week?
We are officially 1 month away from All In. AEW heads to Dallas. Three matches announced so far. Mox versus Hangman for the world title. Tony Storm versus Mercedes Moné for the women's title. And Kenny Omega versus Okada for the international and the continental don't call it the Intercontinental, a combination match. We saw the new belt last night.
The Unified Championship.
Yeah, I don't even know what it's called, actually. Which all I think it's called it's just the Unified
Championship.
Really?
I just think it's the Unified Championship, yes.
That's not a name.
I'm telling you what, that's what the name is. You can't tell me that's the name if that's the name. I'm not saying it's a good name.
International, Continental, like those words seem to just blend together.
Stop. Yeah.
Mom and Dad, stop fucking.
So which match? Month away.
I'm probably most intrigued by Mercedes versus Tony. Because, Tony just, everything she touches turns to gold. And we're seeing Mercedes Moné really at her peak. Like, it took her a while to kind of rev up the engine once she got into AEW. And she's absolutely rolling right now, too. To the point of, she's never lost in AEW. Will she lose in AEW? Is she going to have two championships? I'm more intrigued by the outcome of that than I am Hangman and Mox. Although last night certainly helped, I think, build the intrigue. But right now I'm still on the women's championship matches, the thing that I am looking forward to and interested most.
I agree 100%. Because I can't call it. I don't know who's going to win this match. I don't know. So Toni Storm obviously has captured our hearts and our attention because it's more than the wrestling. It's the entertainment factor. It's just all things she says on commentary. She's just so damn entertaining. She's a complete package. And Mercedes Moné is so good, whether it's in New Japan, on the Indies, AEW, that I don't think about Sasha Banks anymore. For those Sasha Banks stands, and there's still accounts for Sasha Banks, please come back to wrestling. Like she's disappeared. She's wrestling, actually. With all these championships, all those titles means that she's wrestling someplace. I don't think about Sasha Banks anymore. I think about Mercedes Moné because more times than not, she's giving you quality matches. She has proven herself and then some in AEW. So that's why I'm really intrigued with that matchup. And I'm surprised, as we do this show now, that we don't have more matches for Texas that's been unveiled. What's taking so long?
Yeah, it's weird because it was a big, long ramp. So we thought it would lead to more stories. That's why even with the women's match, I wish they were doing more on the mic. I guess you run the risk of getting tired of it, but like, let's do more for that story. And they did an awesome job last night with Kenny and Okada. Like,
yeah,
the way Dynamite signed off and also that video package, like they get a lot of slack about not catching fans up and filling them in. Last night, if you watch that, you're like, oh, I get it why that's a big deal now. Like, that was an awesome job. The other one I threw out there that isn't announced, but it feels like we're going there after last night, Bucks versus Ospreay and Swerve. Like, they're telling stories there. I love what they're doing with Ospreay and Swerve. Obviously, a hell of a match last night, which isn't a surprise to anyone. But to do it like, that was the theatrics we talk about, where it's like, oh, that's storytelling. Like, Swerve standing there and then Ospreay taking the bullet. That match, I feel like, is really going to deliver in a month.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like you said, it hasn't been announced yet. But again, even the little things, like then on Collision, they got to stop with these 4-hour shows on Wednesday nights, man. Like, can we not?
Yes.
But anyway, if you happen to miss it because he was on so late last night, the segment that they did with the Bucks confronting Hangman, and yet Swerve is obviously in the doctor's area or in the trainer's area, attending to Will Ospreay, because now he's so concerned about Ospreay, like they butted heads to the point where they had to have the match, and now he's so honored that he took the bullet for him that he's back there with Ospreay as he's being attended to, like just kind of little things in advancing storylines by doing just those little 30-second segments in the back. I think that is going to add to that match as well.
Yeah, yep. The storytelling in AEW has gotten so much better. And I hope that, once Moxley loses the championship, I'm interested in the matchup too, by the way, with Moxley against Hangman. I think I'm ready for it now than Texas, like just anytime now, just put that match on. Because I want to see how many cronies, how many people will help Hangman Page win that championship. Because that's the whole thing with the numbers game, with all these things, Bloodline, what's happening with the Death Riders, it's all about the numbers. So how many people will help Hangman Page win that championship? And I think that's going to happen in July. So, but I would agree that Mercedes and
Sex
with Mercedes and Tony Storm, that's at the top.
Yeah, but why are we not seeing? Yeah. I think six is the number that helps him, by the way.
Why are we not seeing that anymore? Like, from a storyline standpoint, remember early on in Death Riders, you had, you know, Johnny Hungy and his nunchucks, like the whole locker room trying to fight off the Death Riders. Why is that stopped?
It's a great question. I think we're starting to see more, but again, we're seeing a lot of those people come to the aid of different people who are getting attacked, right? We had that segment last night. So I think between the ops, between Willow, Swerve, and Osprey, that gets us the six.
Oh, look at that.
I think those are the six that, that are ultimately going to help Hangman Adam Page win the championship.
Statlander, she's sort of on the fringe now. She had a moment last night. Again, if you missed it on the 17th hour of AEW, her and Yuta had a backstage thing. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe you woke up this morning, happened to see, you know, the final moments of Collision as it was airing on TBS last night.
I just hope they're not burning these towns out. I'm just saying, like, if you're Portland and you rarely get AEW, you got 4 hours of it. If I'm not mistaken, was there an overrun last night? I don't remember. It was so late.
I don't remember either.
I think it was over four.
I think it was like 4 or 5 minute overrun.
Last week was also.
How do you have an overrun when you've already got 4 hours? You don't go 408. You don't get to go 408. Super Bowl's not even that long.
Also, you know, Mox and Hangman is what it is. That's definitely the main event. Yes.
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 Unless Mox is winning.
I agree.
If Mox is winning, you can't put it on last.
Well, what is the main event?
If Hangman wins, it goes on last. If Mox is winning, then you put the women on last. You put Mercedes versus because they're like, even though technically I would think that Mercedes is the heel in this situation, sure. Right? But I think the crowd is going to be excited no matter how that match ends, because A, I think it has the potential to be one of the best women's matches in AEW history. B, Mercedes, despite being a heel, is over enough where she, even if she ends up winning, the crowd's going to go crazy. And I mean, if Tony wins, like,
yeah,
everyone's going to go crazy if Tony wins. So I would say, yes, if Hangman is winning, you can put it on last. Otherwise, you put the women on.
I agree with that. I mean, they're definitely doing a good job of hyping Kenny and Okada to where it almost feels like a main event.
Well, so I guess that's the interesting thing. So is this, because there are just so many championships, and I'm glad they're like unifying this into one, because you had to kind of clear out some of the clutter with as many championships as they have in AEW and ROH and all these different things. Like, is the way that championship is designed. Now, it's been a minute since we've seen it, but I do believe it looks a little similar to the AEW World Championship. Is this kind of another heavyweight-ish type championship where you have a Collision, you know, you have one that's going to be on Collision, one that's going to be on Dynamite, and you kind of have the two world championship situation the way WWE does? Because that does not look like a mid-card title to me. That looks like a pretty main championship. It's very similar to what the AEW Women's Championship looks like. So it feels like to me like that's more of a upper tier championship versus a mid-card.
Yeah, that's that good old Max deal money to upgrade the championship right there, buddy. That's a good Max deal money. That's what that looked like to me. Say that. And actually, I think, Gabe, you booked a good idea. I think for a post All In, I think that's a good idea to be able to have like a champion that you could depend on every Saturday or wherever Collision's going.
Wherever it ends up.
And then one for Dynamite. And so I got no problem with that. I'm glad that they're putting those two championships together. And I would agree, Brian, by the way, with Okada and
Kenny.
With Kenny Omega. The show was so long, they could have showed a half hour of highlights.
Right.
I like the promo package, but they could have just kept going. I mean, you got to fill 4 hours. Keep that thing going. But I tell you what, it was the best hype that I've seen in a long time. And I saw those matches from Japan. Man, I can't wait for that match. Hell, if that goes first, who's going to follow that?
Also, how do you tell those guys they can't do an hour in Dallas?
I mean,
maybe that's why they only have three matches announced.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. Well, I mean, look, this All In is now like the biggest show in AEW, because that's when they do the stadiums. But in the three matches you have booked, five of your championships are tied up in them.
Yeah.
You have five different championships tied up in just three matches because you have the TBS champ going up against the women's champ, two champions facing each other for a unified championship, and then obviously the World Heavyweight Championship. So realistically, I don't think there's too much more you have to add to this. I mean, you mentioned the tag match, but I don't know what else needs to be added to this to make it feel bigger.
Yeah, so you mentioned Bucks versus Ospreay Swerve. It looks like we're getting Cole and Fletcher for the TNT title.
Mm-hmm.
Hurt Business defend the tag titles against someone.
Sure.
Yeah, that can open the show.
Sure. Do we need anything else? It'd be nice to see another women's match.
What's the latest on WrestleTix? What, 22,000 in Dallas?
I think they jumped up after it was announced that we got the Kenny Ospreay.
The reason why I'm asking is because if it's about 22, 23,000, Gabe, then you know what? All right, that's enough. That's enough matches. You don't get 15. Because if I can't break 30, then you're only going to get a handful of matches. That's good enough.
A day ago, tickets distributed 17,485. So about 3,500 left.
It had jumped up in a week. They had sold 1,400 tickets.
Yeah, still a little thin for me.
It's set up for a little under 21,000.
What's Globe Life? What is that, 40,000?
I mean, it's a baseball stadium, so yeah, with everything you do, you could probably get 40,000 in there if you really wanted to.
That's all right. As soon as AmFam Field gets their shit straightened out, we're going to get a full house in Milwaukee. Oh, I'll be there.
Can't wait. Whenever it happens, me and Hood, we are not going to miss it.
I love that stadium. I can't wait to see wrestling in there. That's going to be great. They'll roll the Crusher and his statue out there.
Oh, yeah, you got to bring it, of course. You can't have a big wrestling event in Milwaukee inside AmFam Field without bringing that statue in. Kidding me?
Does Silas Young bring it out? Is that how it works? Because he has to be part of it.
I mean, naturally.
Exactly right.
Exactly. See, right. Brian doesn't even live in the Midwest.
Yeah, nowhere.
And he gets it.
I can't wait.
All right, Brian, what do we got? Number two in the three count this week.
Right back in the WWE Monday night. Sort of a surprise. Jey Uso's world title run is over. Gunther world champion once again. So as we look back on the Jey Uso title run, give it a grade.
51 days. He was smiling the entire time.
I mean, he's had this written for months.
What was your favorite title defense of Jey Uso's during this run?
At two or three. That's unfair.
You want me to go through the whole Rolodex? We have time. There was the DQ loss to Rollins on Raw. He beat Logan Paul in 9 minutes, and then he lost to Gunther. That's it. Main event Jey.
Oh, my God. Just a bad guy.
I can't believe he's reveling this much in Jey Uso losing the championship. I mean, I guess I should believe it because, like, he just, you know, crapped on it for the all 51 days. I saw his tweet. Like, if I could have disliked the tweet, I would have from what he tweeted. I don't know if you saw what he put out on Monday. I believe it was, like, something. I think it might have been from the official WWE account, Brian. Is that what it was? That what you quote tweeted?
Oh, I don't even remember.
Like, how do you see the match going? Brian said, yeet, super kick, yeet, super kick, yeet, bad spear, match over.
What? That's not a Jey Uso match? Him and Jimmy reunited again. It's a good run.
That is a C+ effort.
That's nice.
It is. Okay. Because you know why? Because Jey Uso shined my apple, put it on my desk this morning. It's
okay.
It's pretty bad. It's a pretty bad title rank. And so here's the thing: the reason why I even put up a C+ is because he captured the imaginations of the fans. The fans wanted him to be champion, and once again, another example. Check the box, guys. You are the guy, you're the champion of the fans, but you're not the company champion. You are the champion, but you're not the guy. That's what Jey Uso is.
Yeah. I mean, I think it goes back to us talking about Ron Killings, where you got the moment. It was a great moment at Mania. And then Hunter's like, oh, we have to keep booking this now? Like, what do you mean we got to do other stuff? Like, there's pay-per-views. That's not who I wanted my champion. So D/F in terms of the actual title run, like, no pay-per-view main events. There's nothing memorable about this run. And it was surprising that Gunther won. I thought it would go a little bit longer, but it added nothing to WWE programming.
So does this telegraph Gunther versus, because there, I keep seeing rumors about Goldberg having that retirement match. Is that part of the reason why they pulled this trigger? So that could be for a championship in Goldberg's final match?
It feels like it.
Goldberg's losing, right?
I mean, I'd like to say yes.
I mean,
but the fact that you felt that, if you felt the need to have it be a championship match, I can't say that for sure.
And you have to ask the question, which scares me also.
Like, because, I mean, honestly, even though he was the champ, even though Gunther was the champ when you had the interaction between Goldberg and Gunther, like, the character work there was good enough where you could have just had the match between the two of them with no championship involved. But now that it feels like the championship, they decided the championship needed to be involved. I don't know if that says more about Goldberg or what that says, but it scares me. Because what happens if Gunther gets hurt, a la Bret Hart, right? Like, what if Gunther gets hurt and all of a sudden Goldberg has to take the win the way Willow ended up getting a win in the New Japan tournament that she was in when Mercedes Moné got hurt? Like, it just, it's feels like you're playing with a lot of fire here.
Rollins cash in, Goldberg win, Goldberg wins. It even felt weird saying it. I was like, oh, I'm making a mistake talking about someone old. Like, no, Goldberg wins, and then Rollins cashes in?
No.
Not advocating for it. I think it's a terrible idea, but trying to make sense of it.
If they want to have this match, it has to be non-title. Sorry. I mean, because if you want Goldberg...
Then why take the championship off of Jay?
Oh, well, because of guys like Brian.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I can get behind. This is Brian's fault. Yeah, I'm in.
It's like, Brian, that's the reason why is because of Brian.
Sorry, I like wrestling. My bad.
Oh, no, bro. It's that's, yeah. You know what? You and Cena ruining wrestling every day. That's what you guys are doing. You too.
No, although championship booking, all of Hunter having no foresight, heel turn, Jey Uso wins. You're like, now what? Like, it's not Mania again? Like, Vegas again? Like, that's the issue.
Yeah, we can get to that later. Was the spear that Jey Uso gave on the table at Money in the Bank, is that the best spear he's ever given?
I would say yes.
Okay.
I would say yes.
Because watching that, my first thought was, oh, I think even Brian could appreciate that spear.
Yeah, but also the issue is Bron Breakker is delivering spears on the same shows.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, look, that's what it's supposed to look like.
Yes.
Yeah, well, I don't even know if that's what it's supposed to look like. With Bron, that's what it looks like. It looks awesome.
Well, if AEW did that, boy, the criticism they'd get. Same move in the same mat in the same show. Oh my God. AEW does that all the time. I for Jey Uso, he was always booked as an underdog, even as champion. Leading into it, as you recall, just like, I don't know if Jey can do it. You know, I'm scared of Gunther. You win the championship. And you're still booked underneath. And then this whole lead up, it was like a bright, glaring light. Boy, Jay's taking a beating leading up to this matchup on Monday. Could he win? Why couldn't he win? Why didn't he? It's because he's never the guy. He's good for t-shirts. He's good with the kids. But they never gave him the real opportunity to have a run at this thing. And so I think that's unfortunate for him.
It feels like the story they were trying to tell. And I think they could have done a better job of it of, oh, Jay just got too distracted with too many other things.
Sure.
Right? Like, you know, you've got this championship coming up on Monday, yet you're involved with Sami Zayn. Now you're involved in this tag team match that ends up, you know, being chaotic and everybody's eating spears all over the place. Like, I feel like they needed to lean into that more. Maybe they felt like if they leaned in too much, it would give away the surprise ending of Monday Night Raw and Gunther actually winning. But I feel like there was something, like, you could have leaned into that and had a better story, and therefore the outcome feel a little bit better than it ended up being.
Yep, no, I agree. I mean, I was expecting a cash-in Monday. Like, ranking everything, Gunther just winning the title clean was bottom of the list in terms of potential outcomes on Monday. So I was surprised by that, which is a good job by the booking. But, yeah, when he's involved in all this other stuff, there's no storytelling, like, it was just missing something. And the same way Cena's run right now is just missing something. They're just playing off the nostalgia. Like, the top of the card right now is severely slacking when it comes to the WWE.
Yeah, what happens to your company when you don't have the bloodline leading? Right. See, where's the other stories? Nothing's more powerful than the bloodline story. But then again, you're trying to say, okay, can we do something without the bloodline? Clearly not.
Right.
I'm having a hard time. It's good, but it's not great. It's not spectacular.
I mean, the biggest reaction Saturday was Jacob Fatu. So, like, bloodline adjacent, like, sort of bloodline-esque. Like, that was the biggest reaction of the night.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, him turning on Solo was...
Yes.
Yeah.
Chef's kiss. It was very well done.
Gunther winning via sleeper said a lot about Jey Uso.
Right? Well, after doing 5 minutes of exchanging sleeper holds.
Right. Like, it was a match I grew up with.
Yeah.
that's what I saw. The sleeper, the ender for Jey Uso. I'm like, wow. You put to sleep his dreams of ever being champion again. That's what happened. When we saw him go out for that third time with that third limp arm, I'm like, yep, that's the last time you'll ever be world champion. And it's too bad they did not give him a good enough run. And that's on Triple H.
Yeah.
That's just, I mean, to me, Gunther's great. But man, Jey Uso just went out in a whimper.
Wasn't the IC title run also short?
Yeah.
For Jey?
Yes.
Yeah. It was short. As was his last tag team run with Cody Rhodes.
Yeah.
Yeet.
Yeah, he's selling merch. Great job at that.
What's number three, Brian?
All right. It was also announced in the world of WWE this week. King and Queen of the Ring will be headed to Saudi Arabia, Night of the Champions, Saturday, June 28th. The winners will get future world title shots at SummerSlam. So who should be your King and Queen of the Ring?
All right, so I have – let's start on the men's side. So there are qualifiers to get into the semifinals on both Raw and SmackDown. Obviously, we already saw Sami Zayn win his Fatal 4-Way with Penta and Bron Breakker and Dirty Dom. So he is there. So the other matches that we have remaining on the men's side, from SmackDown, Orton, LA Knight, Malakai Black, and Carmelo Hayes in one match.
And the winner of that match is who's facing Sami.
So, yep. And then you have Cody Rhodes, Damian Priest, Andrade, and Nakamura as the other SmackDown match on the other side of the bracket. And they will take on the winner of Sheamus, taking on Rusev, taking on Big Bronson Reed, and a mystery man who will be announced at a later date. So starting on the men's side, taking a look at all those, who is going to come out with a championship opportunity against Cena, or I guess don't have to completely eliminate... Gunther, but who gets a championship opportunity at SummerSlam?
So that's Sami Zayn, right? Because when he goes to Saudi Arabia, he gets a really big reaction, as we know. And so he keeps mentioning to Karrion Kross that, you know, I'm going to be world champion. So there's a reason why I keep saying that is because I think he's going to vie for a championship opportunity. I think that that's number one on my list for the King of the Ring to be able to wrestle for the world championship and lose, of course.
Yes, I am ready to be teased again. I'm ready to be let down again. I do think it's Sami. I think the opponent, you mentioned Karrion Kross, I think he's the mystery man. Like, maybe you talk about listening to fans.
Oh.
I think they listen. Karrion wins. It's Sami versus Karrion. Sami gets the win, and then I'm let down again because it's, wait, is Sami going to do it? Is he going to beat Cena? And he's not going to beat Cena.
Well, I don't think he would take on Cena. I think he would take on Gunther.
Do it that way?
Well, as much as I love Sami, and I love him, not like you, but Sami
is both of those.
Sami Cena doesn't feel like it's closing out the show at SummerSlam.
But there's a story, like the Sami debut, the, you know, the shoulder throw out.
Sorry, Hood. We've been giving away tickets all week, bud. What do you want from me?
I watched that in Milwaukee. I've seen that. With some ribs and like a turkey.
Oh, leg. Yeah. Hell yeah.
And Gunther might not even be champion by then. So, you know. Sami versus Goldberg doesn't make any sense.
Sami versus Goldberg.
No, that hurts to say.
I think based on how Triple H books, you know, I totally got Money in the Bank wrong. I didn't think it would be young upstart Seth Rollins, big Money in the Bank, or the young and up-and-coming Naomi, as Brian mentioned, who predicted Naomi could win. So I'm going with Sami Zayn is my number one choice on the men's side.
You mentioned it. I think that what ends up hurting me even more, though, Sammy wins at SummerSlam and then Rollins cashes in right away. So he's finally champ and the run's over in 30 seconds.
Oh, kind of the Daniel Bryan treatment.
Yeah, I can see that playing out.
And then Cena turns babyface. What happens then?
They haven't figured that out yet.
Okay.
Get us to Boston.
I'll call The Rock and I'll ask what's the
right.
I mean, yeah, you start running through the list of competitors here. Like, honestly, if they didn't attach the championship aspirations to this, like, I could have seen, again, before he lost, like, Bron Breakker, that'd be a nice feather in his cap and a nice feather. Oh, they've got the King of the Ring over there, but obviously he lost. So, like, realistically, I mean, they're not getting Orton a championship opportunity. No. Same thing with Knight, Black, Hayes. I mean, Cody Rhodes, sure, but he doesn't need to win to have a championship. And it makes more sense if he were to lose one of these matches, leading in to have his come back and when he eventually beats Cena, makes sense. They're not going to give it to Priest again. Andrade, no. Nakamura, no, heavens no. and Sheamus, Rusev, and Reed, like, none of those guys are world championship material. So Sami Zayn fighting for a world championship, like, makes the most sense on the men's side. It just makes absolutely the most sense. So on the women's side, we already have Roxanne Perez, who advanced by winning her match over Kairi Sane, Liv Morgan, and Rhea Ripley. On the SmackDown side, Perez will get the winner of Jade Cargill versus Meechan versus Piper Niven versus Nia Jax. The other SmackDown match is Charlotte Flair, Alexa Bliss, our favorite, Chelsea Green, and then Candice LeRae. And the other Raw match is Asuka, Stephanie Vaquer, Rodriguez, and Ivy Nile. Who ends up getting that championship opportunity over on the women's side?
So why is it not Stephanie Vaquer? Talk me out of that.
That makes sense, unless the other argument I would have, and this could be a final matchup, is Jade ready, or she's still not done with Naomi.
Doesn't feel like she's done with Naomi.
Yeah, and so that would mean Jade, if she won Queen of the Ring, she would take on whom?
Tiffy? Right, yes.
Mm-hmm.
She's SmackDown, yeah.
She's SmackDown. Although, I mean, none of it.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, take on Tiffy. I don't know about, maybe not now, but soon for Jade.
What if that's the Money in the Bank scenario? Jade beats Tiffy at SummerSlam, Naomi cashes in right away.
I love that.
So Jade gets a moment. It's on a title run. Naomi, then you continue that storyline.
Yeah, I love that. I like that a lot, actually.
I mean, yeah. Steph at Queer Meet makes the most sense to me.
Yeah.
Like, I think the way that she has been presented and the way that crowds react to her, like, she is, of the recent women call-ups that they've made, she seems to me, like, the most ready.
I just look at that list that you just threw out there, like all the qualifiers. It's like Alexa Bliss, and I know people still love her. She seems so down the line to me. Sure. Like I don't see her like with championship gold anytime soon. I feel like the character is kind of spinning its wheels. Charlotte Flair, in the same way, Charlotte gets TV time, but I don't see her on top anytime soon either.
Yeah, but because she's Charlotte, like, she doesn't need to win Queen of the Ring. Like, she's Charlotte Flair. If you want to put her in a championship match, you can. Well, she's Charlotte Flair. Put in a championship match.
That's the crazy part. Is like, you listing out all these names. Like, it is a very deep roster. They just don't utilize all of them.
Yeah, Roxanne Perez, as Gabe just laid out, had a nice win. She tried. She tried to help Liv Morgan. By the way, I know that. I know Liv doesn't see it that way, but Roxanne tried to help Liv Morgan, and Roxanne comes out with the sneaky victory, especially when Rhea Ripley was a favorite to win it. So, you know, that's a feather in her cap, you know, that they like her a lot.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I thought she was the one to eat the pin, because you look at a lot of these four ways, they're exciting. It's like, all right, here's this person's job, you know, Ivy Nile, well, Candice LeRae. I thought Roxanne was sort of going to be
Piper Niven.
Yep. Uh-huh. So people like that.
Yeah, if I'm Piper Niven, I'm talking to the people in the back and go, this outfit's too hot. I am sweating my ass off. And can I take this jacket off?
Do you understand how hot it is under those lights?
God, they must be just absolutely just burning up in those suits. That's so bad. I always felt bad, by the way, for the big boss man.
Mm.
Every night with that shirt and those pants and like the whole crossing guard thing, like he had to be just dying in there. Like, he was a sweater. Yeah. Not like IRS. He was a big sweater. Like Rotunda, he'd sweat through that whole outfit every night. But I mean, that's gotta be tough.
He even had to wear a tie. That's rough.
Oh, that's tough. All the way to the top too.
Yeah.
Oh. Man.
What do we have in news notes this week, Brian?
All right, we sort of alluded to it. We finally know when and where WrestleMania 42 will be taking place. April 18th and 19th of 2026. And it's going back to Vegas to Allegiant Stadium. First time since Mania 4 and 5, which were both in Atlantic City, that it'll be hosted in the same city.
So Vegas just gave them a bunch of money, right?
Uh-huh.
Like, that's how this happens, right? Because, like, for Michael Cole to be like, come on and be like, oh, there's been a lot of, where's WrestleMania going to be? A lot of those questions, like, pretty sure I was watching on this very here program that you guys do. Pretty sure I saw The Rock announce where WrestleMania was going to be. Yeah, maybe weird. I imagined that. But I'm pretty sure I saw. So you guys are the ones who created the confusion because you're moving it because you already announced when it was going to be. And it's different. It's different dates.
Man, that's on you for believing any Rock segment. Don't you know those mean nothing on TV? That's just filler.
Oh my
like
God.
Heel turns, Mania dates. None of that matters when Dwayne's on screen.
Well, I just assumed that, you know, Mania would be locked in, but apparently not. And he just, oh, actually, we're going to give you a different, we're going back to Vegas. This is a bold move to take all this money up front because the ticket prices were so outlandish that even Randy Orton went, whoa, right. That's what we're charging in a video online. So if you're chasing that again, I can't imagine wrestling fans are going to be happy ponying up that type of money in a second year. I just, you're getting a lot of money up front. That's great. But are you going to piss off your fan base in the interim? And that's what WWE needs to be careful of here. But again, that's not a WWE call. This is obviously a TKO call, trying to make as much money as you possibly can.
Nick Khan, who is a Vegas guy, pretty much begged for WWE to go back to Vegas. And I've been reading, and I know I'm sure you two have as well, about how Vegas is struggling because they don't get the international money anymore. Yeah. It's all domestic. Like, I'm not sure how much domestic money versus international money that WWE got for this last WrestleMania, but I can't say they was overly successful. Especially based on the ticket price, that's one. But also,
they told us though it's the most money they've ever made.
But they lie.
And oh,
so I would just say that I don't see those ticket prices going down anytime soon, and I'm not sure domestically, especially in our country, how many people are coming from wherever, all over the world, to see WrestleMania like they once did. So that's a problem. So Vegas as a whole is struggling. Just not just WrestleMania. They're having a hard time bringing people in to be able to make sure Vegas is as lucrative, as successful as they once were.
Well, Vegas's problem is it used to be affordable. Like, you could go and hang out there like they because they wanted you to gamble. But now it's, you know, everything's just so damn expensive in Vegas. Like, and that's a problem. That's why they're struggling. That's why... But again, I'm going to be interested to see how many people are going to want to go, yeah, that worked for me as a fan, because it seemed like fans were not happy. Brian, you were there.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm guessing once the show started, obviously the fans were fine, but it did not seem like, again, I'm leery because it's basically only online reaction, and turns out people online like to bitch and moan.
Right.
But it did not seem overwhelmingly positive from a fan perspective being in Las Vegas.
Well, that's the weird part. Like, for me, like, I personally love Vegas. Like, it's literally a yearly trip for me, being a Raiders fan. Places like it's one of those places we go to every year. I didn't see a lot of it there on site. Like, people were at the shows. The indie shows were full, and, you know, we're bouncing around. A lot of them are the same casinos. Nothing was too crazy in terms of transportation. Like, I never had a hard time with Ubers or whatnot. But this feels like they think they're on the level of the NFL. We always talk about the NFL's invincible. Like, oh, yeah, we're going to play on Wednesday nights. We're going to play on Christmas. Like, you're going to come watch us. That sort of feels what this is. Like, oh, yeah, give us your pay-per-view money, and we're going to give you five matches. Like, I don't know if they're as indestructible as they think they are the way the NFL is.
I haven't looked, and maybe I just need to go on WrestleTix. I think their first rude awakening is going to be the two-night SummerSlam.
Yeah, but if they give you something good, like...
But we just went over it, man. Well, but again, I think WWE can deliver something good on one night. I don't know if they can do both nights.
Oh, no, I agree. And that's the other thing. Like, I think looking at WrestleMania, like, after two nights, we're like, well, one of those nights sort of sucked. Like, that might hurt them more than anything else.
Well, again, we went through it and went, yeah, there's enough here for one card.
Right.
And now, and now we're going to be doing that again for SummerSlam. So... Again, running these two-night shows, now everybody's supposed to flock and go to a stadium for SummerSlam. Flock and go to it.
Looking at WrestleTix, I'm skeptical. I don't think they've released – I think they've only released combo tickets so far, but it's set up right now for over 87,000.
Okay.
Good luck.
They're going to announce 94,000, but that's what it's set up for.
93,173. Thank you, Pontiac.
Well, and wasn't, Brian, you were at that WrestleMania. Wasn't that a disaster, people trying to get home?
Oh, yes. But that's all the time. I feel like that's any of these big shows. Like, getting out of these places. Philly was a lot worse for me, but also, I guess I walked out of Vegas. Like, Philadelphia, there was no getting out of the link. Like, if you wanted an Uber, and driving cost a lot. Like, I literally had to walk over. There's a casino nearby. I was like, I guess I'll hang out here for the next hour and a half. Before finally it's like, oh, it's not $250 for an Uber down the street.
Yeah, that's pretty tough. All I can say is that, AEW, for the amount of matches that they put on, quality matches, they could do a two-night event. They just don't want to see the attendance at the end of the night.
Right.
No.
The only thing. Like, they could have two great nights of wrestling, as we all know, because they're all bangers. But for WWE... It's just that the product is hot. And when I say the product, it may not be the in-ring. It's just that the whole thing, with the fans and the celebrities and everything else, that's why people want to watch. And it ain't because the wrestling is just, like, superb
right at
the top. They are about the moments. And you can only have so many moments before, at some point, you got to put on some matches. I know they're about the moments. It's about, you know, what goes viral and all that kind of stuff. But at some point, yeah, you got to have some bangers, because that matters in wrestling.
Well, speaking of those moments, one of the moments of the weekend, Worlds Collide, WWE and AAA, one of the guys that took off, Mr. Iguana, one of the biggest stars out of the weekend, got a video package on Raw, an NXT appearance, and apparently merchandise already doing very well for Mr. Iguana.
What's the end game for Mr. Iguana?
It would have been with R-Truth. That would have been a great segment. And now he's Ron Killian.
Truth Iguana tag team?
Yes. Not impressed, Hood?
Hood seems out.
Did it landed on his shoulder? Like, no, right up my alley.
No, I think Truth Guana would have been just fine.
Yeah.
Actually, you know, when it comes to these things, usually you look for the Miz. Miz Plum on.
Yeah. Miz is putting somebody over.
Miz, right. You know, Miz Guana. I can see that happening. Sure. As far as Worlds Collide is concerned, sure, that got over because it was so unique. Like, he's wrestling. I mean, this is no different from Mr. Sacco. It's no different than, like, the thing
the
that
Cobra
I had.
The Santino, yeah.
Cobra. Same thing. Same thing. And people love a gimmick. That's all it is. And by the way, like, I heard on the broadcast how much kids love that in Mexico. And that the merchandise is through the roof for Mr. Iguana. So we love the wrestling, but also we like some of the silly. And by the way, what's great for Iguana, he can go.
Yeah. You mentioned The Miz. There were reports recently he unfollowed WWE on all of social media. Well, he took to Instagram to say all that is fake. He doesn't know where any of that come from. He did just drop Miz Golf on the WWE YouTube. So maybe a Gabe Neitzel appearance in the future.
Yeah, we can only hope. You know, maybe we can get an interview with The Miz out on the golf course. You know?
Yeah.
We have a great golf up here in Wisconsin. I'd be happy to host him at one of our great golf courses. So we can figure that out. Yeah, I mean, The Miz is going to be a WWE life. Like, you brought this up earlier, Hood. Like, The Miz does whatever Triple H asks him to do. Oh, need someone to go, do an interview? Yeah. Oh, need someone to do a reality show? Sure. oh, now he's doing a golf reality show on their YouTube page. Cool. Like, Miz isn't going anywhere anytime soon. He is going to be there forever.
So why did he take his wrestling off of his social media?
Yeah, ignore that.
I don't think he did. I think
he's saying he didn't.
Yeah.
I went through his timeline. I don't see anything about wrestling. What about his bio? Does it say WWE Superstar? I don't think so.
He said he hasn't updated his Twitter in 5 years, and all of a sudden people are noticing.
He'd update stuff, but it doesn't have any WWE stuff. Well, you know what? Actually, he doesn't have to because he hasn't done shit.
Yeah, like,
so why would you have anything?
When is he supposed to post his latest match? When the hell was that?
Just like his whole situation with whatchamacallit. What's his name?
Carmelo, yeah. Big hot tag team on SmackDown.
Don't miss. How come that's not on there?
Oof.
No, I think that's noteworthy that he has nothing. He works for WWE. He has nothing about WWE on it. That's strange.
Yeah. Finally, news and notes. Wrestling Observer reports that the four-hour block of Dynamite and Collision over the last couple weeks is because Warner is working out the best time slot for Collision moving forward.
That's Thursdays at 7 Central, I think. Right.
It's not 10 p.m. Eastern. I can tell you that on a Wednesday.
No, but we talk about this all the time. If a company says, hey, could you give us an extra 2 hours? It's like, yeah, sure. Sure, no problem.
I don't blame AEW like that. You know, hey, this is the TV time that you were given. This is what you got to do to be a successful company is put on these TV shows. That's on. And look, I guess, you know, War Brothers Discovery has their own issues. They're splitting into two different companies and who the hell knows what's going on and what they want and all these different things. But having 4 hours of wrestling is not good for anybody.
It is not. It's a cost savings for AEW, though, because.
Oh, yeah.
All right, here's Dynamite, here's Collision, one truck, all the wrestlers here. It wears out the fans. Like, I couldn't sit there for 4 hours, and I love wrestling. I'd watch it when I got home, but I could not sit there for 4 hours.
Good on whoever was there for the final four-minute overrun.
This guy here, Brian, he was that's for sure. Yeah. I would just say that my prediction is that it's going to be Thursday at 7 o'clock.
Great.
Essential. That's what I think it's going to be. Because again, many people don't have access TV, so that's not even a organization that would go against you. You don't have to worry about ratings there. You just run it. It's an open day.
What about I don't remember who threw it out there. There's no wrestling on Mondays on cable.
I threw that out there.
I made it.
I said that. Said someone's going to run Monday nights on, and again, the world has Netflix, but someone's going to try it, I think.
Yeah, the problem is when you hit football season and go up against Monday Night Football.
And you do know that's going to be the NWA that tries that.
On Roku.
Right.
The history of this show, we've been waiting for the NWA to get a deal. Hey, we're on Roku. And then the Farton Church.
I think I know where to find that. Like, I don't know where to find access. I think I can get to a Roku channel.
Oh, I can. Yeah, I've got only on one of my TVs. Can I do that? Because one of my TVs has Roku. The other one does not. But I can watch at least. I can't watch access TV on any of my televisions. So
step in the right direction.
All right, boys.
I love that Roku deal. It's funny.
was he talking about when he was talking about top of the line network that he was working on?
Tomato.
Matches of the week, obviously, Ospreay versus Swerve, I think, is going to be on everybody's lists.
Those guys are good at what they do.
Yeah.
Can we go back to AAA and talk about Vikingo against Chad Gable?
Bravo.
It's the best Chad Gable match I've ever seen. And I think that it's funny. Once again, Chad Gable can't get over as Chad Gable, but as Americano, absolutely. Thumbs up. Americano more over than Chad Gable. And then I thought Chad Gable against AJ Styles was a solid match as well. And again, Chad Gable not over, but Americano is.
Yeah, because Americano beat him, but Chad Gable lost.
Does he regret re-signing?
Chad?
Yeah.
No.
No?
He'd be in the middle of the – well, he would be lower middle card in AEW. He'd be like
– He'd be Josh Alexander, I guess.
He'd be on Collision.
Yeah, all right.
He's getting TV time as two characters right now.
That's why I wanted him to win the briefcase as Americano. So you had the moment where Chad Gable tries to cash in. They're like, no, you didn't win this. Like, the guy with the mask won it. a great bit.
Actually, we are the Chad Gable of this company.
I got a compliment?
On multiple shows, one check.
So there's that.
Did you guys see that? So they're selling the Grande Americano. I saw this online. They're selling the Grande Americano mask, but on like the barcode tag sticker that's on the bag that holds it, it says Chad Gable mask.
Yes.
The hell?
Yeah. The best.
The other author from Raw, I enjoyed the Sammy, Dom, Braun, and Penta four-way.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
That was a good one.
I like Roxanne Perez and Liv Morgan and Rhea Ripley and Kairi Sane. I would ask both of you guys to go back and rewatch the Queen Aminata Tekla match from Collision. Please go back and watch that. As a friend, go back and watch it because there's something wrong that happened in that matchup.
Uh-oh.
Oh. Yeah. So it's funny because like Queen Aminata is like the biggest jobber in AEW. But she does jobs in that she like does really good matches with the new women who are coming in. Like they'll give them 10 minutes and it'll be a really good 10 minutes. You're telling me that's not the case here.
No, what you described is correct. However, we got classic case of boo-boo face.
Uh-oh.
From Queen Aminata. Now you saw how physical that match was. Go back and watch it. I want GKW viewers and listeners to go back and watch this. It's a little stiffy. A little stiff.
Oh.
If you notice, go back and watch it closely and then watch afterwards. Queen Aminata, after losing, walks out. No selling, no on my head.
Oh.
She walks the F out.
That is surprising because she's like the Brian Cage of the women's division. Great match every time, but you know who's winning.
That's a great win.
I mean that in a nice way.
Yeah,
I'm sure. I'm sure that's exactly how you meant it. Yes, you meant it in a very nice way. Did you guys prefer the men's or women's? Who did the better Money in the Bank ladder match?
I don't love either, honestly.
I would say the women's.
Yeah,
I like the women's better, more than I like the men's as well.
Yes, I like the women's a lot better. Again, I guess I was sour on the finish for Seth Rollins. I'm like, you don't need the briefcase. But they could tell a story with this because I thought Penta would be cool sneaking in, you know, with the briefcase slowly down the aisle. But it tells a story for Seth because Seth is sometimes – I told Brian this last week. I said, when you have a faction, there has to be a reason why you're a faction. There's got to be a reason. The centerpiece of the faction is now we got a guy with a briefcase. You don't want to be like the AEW groups that are together, but they got no cause, right? The conglomeration, for instance.
Mm.
They got Mark Briscoe. That's their cause. That's good enough.
No cause.
I still every week will say that group needs a name, the Seth Rollins group.
Yeah, of course it needs a name. It absolutely needs a name. I will say that, again, for the WWE, when you, it's fine that they did this, they put the men's match there, but the Bloodline wasn't popular because every finish was a schmoz finish, right? Like, I understand it's a no disqualification match with the ladder match. Yeah, you're going to have people interfere on behalf of Seth Rollins. It just, the whole thing breaks down, right? Like, the whole thing breaks down. Well, maybe don't do that knowing that you're going to the main events and R-Truth is going to interfere in that tag match. Like, we don't have to do all this interference on the, and to do it back to back, it makes it stand out even more.
That's all of their matches, though. Like, I feel like if someone looked at the percentage of WWE matches that don't have interference, it's going to be pretty low.
It's where Triple H learned. Yes. That's how you learn. DQs. And by the way, John Cena getting older by the minute in matches. Oh boy, this might
can't even protect him in tag matches.
Yeah, I'll give him credit. I think this might be the best that we've seen from Cena, only because he was in a tag match with Logan Paul. But boy, singles, not good.
No. The moonsault that Logan Paul did onto the table was insanity.
And the drone shot thing was cool with Cody.
Oh yes,
I enjoyed that.
Yeah, so again, some fun creative things, but again, we don't have to. Again, if AEW would do this, they'd be crucified. But again, Paul's a genius, and everybody's enjoying the show. So nobody's got an issue. It was fun, boys, having everybody back together. Summer of wrestling, a lot of good things. Like Rohit said, 1 month away from All In, getting closer to SummerSlam, and we've got King and Queen of the Ring now. So plenty of things to dive into the world of professional wrestling. Make sure you check out the YouTube page if you've missed anything, any of our past interviews, youtube.com/AtGoodKarmaWrestling. You can find it all there. Like it, subscribe. But we'll be back right here next week to break it out down, everything pro wrestling on GKW.
Enjoying the show.